Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents, and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Care for a little fire? Scarecrow? That was my Wicked Witch impersonation. This is Wretched Radio. Forget the scarecrow. In fact, forget that kind of fire. How's about some heat from Paul Washer? You say, does he deliver anything else? Well, the answer is actually he does. It's just the stuff that's fiery that tends to get all the social media traction. Paul Washer, since 2002, when he was launched into public consciousness, at least in evangelical circles, and his shocking youth message, still worth listening to on occasion when he appeared before 5,000 young Baptists to just blast them with their worldliness. Well, let's see if I'm doing the math right. Over two decades later, he's still concerned about the same thing. What you're about to hear is just a snippet. It's actually a five-hour presentation. I think he did five lectures at a prison in Louisiana. He spent the first 2 hours talking about sin, the next 2 or 3 hours talking about grace. He is still on fire. This is a man who is still passionate about preaching the good old-fashioned gospel. This will be good for you if you're not a pastor. It might be especially good for you if you are. You don't go about the business of trying to become a Paul Washer impersonator. Be you. But maybe, just maybe, we have been affected. I was going to say infected, but affected is probably just a nicer word, by the world that says, don't talk like that to or about people. Paul Washer, I think, is going to demonstrate maybe our temperature has just been a little low. At best, we've perhaps been on simmer. Paul Washer is going to, he's going to bring it to a boil. Why? Well, not just because they're prisoners, but because the gospel is not glorious unless we understand that from which we have been saved. And what we have been saved from is God himself. And that should cause terror. It is not bad to let people get scared. Why? Because it's the beginning of wisdom. This might also be applicable for you if you're a parent and you're wondering, should I let my kids be afraid of the Lord? The answer is yes, you should. Now, you don't want to terrorize a small child. But the sooner they can grasp God is not one to be trifled with, the better. Paul Washer, I think, might be offering us an adjustment to the way we're presenting the gospel. If you have some Teflon, you might want to surround yourself with it. Remember, he's in a prison.
He tells planets to move in certain circles, and they all bow in obedience. He tells mountains to be lifted up and they obey him. He tells valleys to be cast down and they go on their knees and fall before him. He tells the great oceans, you will come to this place and you will go no further. And they worship him. And then he looks at you and says, come. And you go, no. That's why on the day of judgment, all creation will stand to its feet and applaud and worship God when he condemns your soul to hell.
When was the last time you heard preaching like that? That's a man on fire. And again, this is not an encouragement to start trying to emulate exactly what Paul Washer does. But are we perhaps too timid, too tepid with our presentation of the gospel? Are we perhaps afraid of the threatenings of the gospel? Look, it's easy to get off balance and to think that for a second we aren't influenced by the world. Like, well, okay, in our postmodern times, you don't want to offend anybody, so we water the thing down. But we're not willing to let people be afraid We're not willing to present God in such a way that they tremble. Now, of course, you don't stop there. That's what bad open air preachers do. They just, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. You women, you should be happy to get a vacuum cleaner. Actually, that was a quote from an open air preacher. Not kidding. That was Brother Jed years ago out at the University of Minnesota. He'd go everywhere. All he did was yell at kids. I guess talk about sin. Never, ever got to the gospel. Well, Paul does, but before he does, it's clear he is not afraid for people to be afraid. He is not scared for people to be scared, because that is the beginning of wisdom.
You must understand this. This is not a game. You will not stand before him. I've heard men say, well, I'll stand there. I heard a movie star say this a few years ago. Well, if there is a God, I'll stand before him and I'll give him a piece of my mind. No, you will not. You will melt before him like a tiny wax figurine before a blast furnace.
It's true. It's true. Have we forgotten this? Now, please note, this doesn't mean that we can't speak about the loving kindness of God, but won't the loving kindness of God be magnified if we spend more time talking about the terror of the Lord? That it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Maybe, even with street evangelism, with our children, you teach Sunday school. Have we lifted up God as the consuming fire, or have we just kind of set that aside because we want to present God as being a tender, loving God? Now, see, there's the problem right there. He is a tender, loving God. This isn't either or, and that's our problem, isn't it? We have a tendency to be either or, but the reality is it is both things that need to be presented about the character of God.
That's what we're dealing with here. You say, well, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. You don't like that you're in prison, but you are. And if a man can make you do something you don't want, how much more God? Who do you think you're dealing with here? This is God.
In another part of his presentation, that was a minute and 27 seconds. Can you stand more? Can you bear more? This is because I fear that too often when we present, even when we present the law, it's done kind of casually. I'm guilty of it too. And if you're sitting on a bench with somebody, you don't want to be yelling at them the way Paul is. Different context, but pressing in, hey, this is earnest. Doesn't mean you have to sound sharp and severe, but this is really, we're talking about your eternity. We're talking about you facing God, and he is not one with whom you should trifle or take lightly. I think that's the exact same word redundantly and repetitively. Please understand what you are facing and what he will do to you for all of eternity. Maybe Paul is helping us with an adjustment. At a different time in his presentation, he said to the prisoners, look, I understand that this, what I'm about to say, I could get shanked for this. It's good you're in prison. It is good that you are here. Because you see, there are men, heralded men and women, successful people that the world praises. They accumulate wealth. They accumulate power and notoriety, and then they die and go to hell. God was gracious to you. He arrested you. He stopped you so that you could hear this and not spend eternity in hell. It is good that God stopped you. It was a gift that God got your attention, because here you are and you can escape hell. You don't like this temporal prison? You are going to weep and wail and gnash your teeth for eternity in God's prison. This has been a gift for you to be arrested and to be in this prison this day. That's bold preaching. And if I could, as an aside, just listening to this Paul Washer is such a treat. when Paul had his heart attacks, I can't even remember now how many years ago it was. 5 years ago, something like that. He had a number of heart attacks. Remember, he died like 6 times on the table. I mean, like, they thought he was dead. Clearly he wasn't because, well, you just heard him. And that ain't AI. Wonder if AI could ever create a Paul Washer sermon like that, what that would sound like. He was deemed dead to the point where the surgeons went out into the waiting room to inform his wife, your husband has died. Oh, well, he didn't. And here he is. But he did experience some stuff with his brain. And when I was at the MacArthur Memorial with Paul, he said that he was just rejoicing because he admitted that after the heart attacks, he was brain foggy. And you know, groping for concepts and finishing thoughts was a genuine struggle. And I can't recall what he said did it or how it happened exactly, but basically he said he woke up and his brain was back. And it's clear again. And you can hear that in this, can't you? Because it's like he's just on it. He's not groping. He's not hesitant. He's bold. Praise God for that. So I'm just wondering, having heard just 1 minute and 27 seconds of Paul Washer, is it possible you and I, in some way, need to make an evangelistic adjustment? This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our Confession, An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please meet Paul Washer. This is Wretched Radio. You're thinking, wait a second, skinny boy. I just met Paul Washer. He's that fiery preacher who went into that Louisiana prison and just scorched the prisoners. Yeah, that's Paul Washer. But I'm going to introduce you to the other Paul Washer, who's the exact same Paul Washer, because when Paul preaches about sin, he preaches intensely. When he preaches about judgment, he preaches it with urgency. He's also trying to elevate people's understanding of who God is. He's not a wimpy God. He's not this passive, things didn't work well, I don't want to be. No, God is holy, righteous, and just. And God will make sure that every evil deed is tried in his courtroom and punished rightly as a sin against an infinitely holy God. And that's an urgent message. And Paul preaches that one way. But then he also preaches the gospel. He also preaches grace. He also preaches mercy. So just amuse me for a moment. I just want to re-listen to about 15 seconds of the first Paul Washer, so that you can hear the tenderness of Paul Washer when he preaches the gospel.
He looks at you and says, come, and you go, no. That's why on the day of judgment, all creation will stand to its feet and applaud and worship God when he condemns your soul to hell. You must understand this. This is not a game.
That's Paul Washer. So is this.
If you are a believer, if you truly are a Christian, that all those crimes, all those sins, all the shame of it, all the guilt of it is now placed on him.
That is a different Paul Washer. Why? Because he's preaching the gospel.
Does God hate sin? In the same way that I cannot describe to you God's love for righteousness, I can't even begin to sound the depths of God's hatred for evil. And although God does love the men that he has made, and he beckons them right now, come, come, please, come. And he holds back his wrath. One day he'll retract both, and there'll be nothing left for you but to be swallowed up in the wrath of God.
That's pretty severe. Delivered tenderly. In other words, there's a place for both in preaching, and I'm just wondering, have any of us, including myself, lost our balance?
And jailhouse religion is not going to save you. Repentance and sincere faith in Jesus Christ is going to save you. Do you realize that the majority of professing Christians, not in prison, in church, are not converted? Do you realize that? When they say, you know, America is, what, 25%, 40% Christian? If that was true, we wouldn't have killed 70 million babies. And just so you know, the great majority of them black. So many people, yeah, I'm Christian. We're going to deal with that today. I can't tell you how many people. I said, you know, I'll share the gospel with them on the street. And I'll say this. Have you come to know Jesus? Have you repented? Have you believed? Yeah, I done that. Like it was a flu shot. Don't worry about me. When I was 9 years old with the preacher, he asked me to pray that prayer. I prayed that prayer and I got that out of the way. I done that. I was baptized. Yeah, I've done that. Don't worry about me. You're living like hell. Don't worry about me. I done that. That kind of language. I don't want to be smart alecky or trite, but that's exactly what people say. I done did that. But what you need to see is this. The horror of the cross is that on the cross, the Son of God suffered the wrath of God that was due us. And if you notice in that Jeremiah passage, the nations are saying, I won't drink it. And God says, yes, you will. There was a story. I don't have all the names and everything, but I'll tell you the story. A great Puritan preacher is telling it about a cold fellow elder pastor who had come under great depression and began to doubt his salvation. He would see the weakness in his own life. And he said he had a dream, and he was at the gates of heaven and fearful. He was off to the side, and he said all of a sudden trumpets are blowing, and he sees this mass of glorious people. It was the patriarchs of the Old Testament, and they're marching in through the gates of heaven. And he says to himself, I can't go with them. And then after them comes all the prophets, King David, the horns are blowing even louder. There's even more glory. And he looks and he goes, I can't go with them. And then he sees the apostles coming in, and the horns is even louder and the glory is even greater, the apostles and the martyrs. And he goes, I can't go with them. But then there's silence and trumpets blow exceedingly great. And there is a magnificent glory. And here comes Rahab, Manasseh, and all the great sinners of the Old Testament who had repented and believed. And he said, I can go in with them. Oh, my dear friend, if you're a brother in Christ, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Live for him because of what he did. Live for him. If you're outside of Christ, no longer remain outside. Trust in him. You say, I've been baptized. And I say, I don't care. Hell will be filled with baptized people. If I walked up to you right now and said, explain to me your hope for heaven. Tell me what Jesus did. Share with me your conversion. Share with me the fruit of your conversion. How are you living now? What really happened to you? That's what's important. Not just that you got wet or some religious authority who doesn't know enough tells you you're saved because you repeated some prayer. You are saved because you have repented of your sin and believed in Christ, and you are learning to cherish and love and rely upon Christ.
Schizophrenic? No. But isn't that tenderness warmer because of the fire that he was throwing earlier? That this is a man who does care, but it is a man who is willing to let people tremble, a man who is willing to let people be afraid. And I was so struck. I found this as a short initially, where he's just, you know, yelling at him. And I thought, I had to stop and consider my evangelistic encounters. I had to stop and consider, how do I preach the gospel at Alpharetta Bible Church? Jimmy, did I mention we're in 1 Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church?
1 Peter. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I thought to myself, I'm not going to become Paul Washer because I can't. Nobody can. But I wonder if I need to adjust my dial. I wonder if I haven't swung too far to the other way. And by the way, this is not a one-time exercise. This is almost a perpetual exercise in the Christian life. And it's not just the gospel. It's justification and sanctification. It's how we even view sin. We just always need to realize, like Luther said, you get the drunken man gets on the horse, falls off one side, and then he gets back up, gets on the horse, falls off the other side. The pendulum of our lives as Christians, it can just swing back and forth from one extreme to the next. And we need to make sure that we're at center. The problem is we are at center, but it's usually just for that split second when the pendulum ball swings by it. We've got to come to rest there and make sure that we haven't fallen off of one side. And I would be remiss at this moment if I didn't ask you, my dear friend, who has never repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, or your relationship at best has been casual. You just kind of check out Jesus when there's a need or flop open a Bible when there's an occasion. But in your heart of hearts, perhaps now you realize, uh-oh, I have never come to this consuming fire on my knees in repentance and faith. Then I would encourage you to do so today. Be saved from the wrath that is to come. And there is only one way to do that, and that is to put your trust in the one who consumed God's wrath for you. Come in repentance and faith, and he will save even you. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.